This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Now on today's program, a long-promised episode that we finally get to, and man, this movie be weird. It's B-Movie on We Hate Movies. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Siska.
And B Hate Movies.
I'm back killing myself.
I love it.
And welcome to We Hate Movies. Thank you for tuning in. As always, this week, like we mentioned at the top, we're talking B-Movie. It's from 2007, directed by Steve Hichner and Simon Smith.
Wait. So, wouldn't we be beaking about B-Movie?
What the fuck are you talking
He's
about?
He's not saying speaking, he's saying beaking.
Beaking.
No,
beaking.
That one doesn't work.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a tough one.
Overruled.
Overruled.
Don't we do it with all of them? Isn't that like what the
Every
movie does?
Word.
Like fucking everything?
Yeah, that's true.
Man, this movie, not only does it suck, because it sucks. Mm-hmm. Don't worry, it sucks. It's also fucking weird and creepy.
And it also blows.
It does suck. It does indeed blow. As Wayne Campbell might say, it blows chunks, perhaps.
I do want to clear the air here because everyone's going to be like, these guys are only doing it because it's an internet sensation.
Incorrect.
Speaking of listener request month, in November of 2014, yeah. I was soliciting Steve Selects for movies.
Right. I remember that.
This was the animated one.
There was one that was The Hand That Rocks the Cradle that was called in. The other one was B-Movie. Nobody called it.
There you go.
I saw this movie and it creeped me out. It made my spine tingle.
Ooh. My spine was tingling.
Can I say this is the first time I saw it?
I'd never seen it before.
It looks like fucking garbage.
I was also a B version. B-Virgin.
B-Virgin? No.
Well, it doesn't work. God damn it.
Listen, the thing about it is...
well, actually, you don't always have to go B. Yeah, at one point in this movie, they say, oh, we're very proud of you. And I'm like, what?
Now it's just bad Valentine's cards.
Yeah, that's just
cards.
Stupid.
How is there not a show me the honey? You know? Like, come
that
on.
That would have been nice.
Are you sure they didn't do that? Did you go and take a shit at some point during the movie?
Now, do you know, Chris Cabin, how I am 100% confident that they don't do show me the honey in this movie? Because I'm not fucking swinging from my bathroom ceiling.
Well, okay. Good point.
But it would have been sweet if they did.
Oh, there you go.
Man, now we're just expanding the B pun.
So when did Seinfeld end? 99?
98.
So Seinfeld
It ended right around when that Green Day song came out.
Yes.
Remember that song? That
was Time of Your Life.
Good Riddance. Yes. Because I remember they were playing that over Seinfeld, and I was like, what?
They did it on the clip show.
It's like the hour-long clip show, and they're all like taking bows. That always kind of makes me misty, man.
Oh, I was just gonna, if no one else was going to say it, man, I've fucking cried during that before.
Oh, you're ridiculous.
Not like crying like watching dogs get kicked, but like, you know, just like that Green Day song playing. And let me tell you, before every show, fucking sporting event, whatever the hell else, dead person montage ruined that song. I did kind of like that Green Day song.
Yeah,
I did.
But I just thought that was disgusting.
It was really cheap. I mean,
just like dogs getting kicked, I thought it was disgusting.
On the same level, but sure.
And at this point, I only think of, like, I can't think of the good times because I just think about Steve Bannon counting his money.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that does sour that show.
Yeah, just a tad, but it doesn't stop me from watching it.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you're still doing it, but like... Fuck.
There's other ways to fight Nazis.
So Seinfeld went away and like... He kind of had this air of mystery for a couple of years. You know what I mean? Like, nobody knew what his new... He didn't come back with a new show. He wouldn't, like, pop on anything. He didn't guest star in anything.
They latched onto his girlfriend, though, didn't they?
Oh,
what? When he had a consistent girlfriend, yes. It, like, took over all the fucking gossip bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Well, she was, like, 19 years old or something at the time.
Oh, wow. So it was the direct opposite of the TV show where the women were so forgettable they couldn't be mentioned in more than one episode.
I think you can count on one hand the amount of women that like made it more than one episode with him. Yeah.
It's tough. Oh, Jerry Seinfeld is a new project. Jerry Seinfeld, new project. Jerry Seinfeld. And it's a movie about a bee that wants to have sex with a lady.
This was it.
Yeah, this was it.
This was the one.
Well, but the only thing before that, though, wasn't there the I'm telling you for the last time? Was
that
the comedy special
and
that was before
that comedian
this,
documentary that he made?
Comedian. Oh, that's right. And Comedian, I thought, was like fine. I mean, it's one of those things. It's kind of like that movie, The Aristocrats. Like, you can kind of just watch it once.
And you can live your whole life
and get everything
about
it. Yeah, and then you'll go to your grave never watching it a second time, which is totally fine. That's the way Comedian was. I saw it in theaters. It's fine. That's the end of it. And then, I'm telling you for the last time, which was, like, good enough.
But, like, no Frank Oz, no, like, James Brooks, maybe.
What the hell are you talking about?
Like, for what? A project, if you're fucking Jerry Seinfeld and you're looking for your first fucking project out of the gate, a real movie with a real big comedy. Alexander Payne
at the time. Well, because he's not a real actor.
He's even bad
in
this.
But somebody's got to, I mean, like, somebody's got to put him in something.
I mean, if What's-His-Face could get a good performance out of Matthew Lillard, like, maybe.
Sure. Alexander Payne, sure.
Yeah, but, like,
my dad is dying!
Oh, my God, my wife's cheating on me! All my kids hate me! Like, what else could he what situations could he find himself in?
I'm Hawaiian royalty!
I'm the king of Hawaii now!
What's the deal with my Hawaiian heritage? Why is my brother Bo Bridges?
I'm walking around with Bruce Stern!
Man, that's the movie I want to star in. It's just called Walking Around with Bruce Dern.
Sure, you want to get lunch? Hey, you want to get lunch?
Yeah, we better walk there, though.
Yeah.
It's right down the
street.
But
then we're going to have a good sit.
Oh, man.
We're going to eat our sandwiches. We're not going to rush it.
So, I mean, like, at this point, Ants had come out and Bug's Life. So we all thought we were done with animated bug movies.
Yeah, we were up to our tits in animated bug movies.
Steve, they were bugging me.
Right.
There you go.
Bugging out. That Jerry Seinfeld bugging out. Why not?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he could be. I was actually thinking of the Spike Lee character bugging out.
Does anyone remember the Jean Leguizamo? I don't know. I gave up the French pronunciation. John Leguizamo sketch show that was on Fox for like 19 seconds.
Oh, wait. Is it his commercial?
No, it's called House of Buggin'.
Yes.
From the early to mid-90s. Yeah, man.
Oh, man.
You better believe he had a lot of wigs on.
That is terrifying.
That
you know, that
disgusting.
The cable company commercial that you're referencing?
Yes.
That's what House of Buggin' was. Yeah, you're right, Eric. Spit, gargle, growl.
It's just not good.
Or The Pest on Loop.
Oh, yikes. Pest on Loop.
Mama, that's a movie.
So what's not a movie is B movie.
It's it is barely a movie.
Everyone's doing human movies. We'll do B movies.
Yes. Well, apparently, as the rumor goes, Steven Spielberg was like talking with Seinfeld, and Seinfeld jokingly was like making up this idea for a movie, and Spielberg was like, no, it's a good idea.
Yeah.
That's why DreamWorks is putting this movie out.
Yeah, because they're buddies, I guess.
Like, Spielberg, learn how to take a joke, buddy.
Age old advice, never listen to Steven Spielberg.
It's unbelievable.
He was going to be the villain in Minority Report, I guess. Is that...
Speaking of DreamWorks...
Even the Max von Sydow part? I would like that. Yes.
They have a special B-movie logo because this movie is going to be such a hit.
Yep.
Oh, man.
There's going to be 7 B-movies.
Dude. It's going to be a box set.
It's Shrek all over.
Mm-hmm.
Well, even
man, Shrek is trash.
Shrek is total Shrek fucking is trash.
I mean, this is like, I mean, and the animation sucks.
This is better.
It looks so bad.
This is a better movie than any Shrek movie.
It 100%. Yes.
Yep.
Even the first Shrek movie.
Yeah.
I think you're
like,
right.
I think it's like dead even.
I feel like people are going to disagree with me, but. You know,
the ghost of Chris Farley is happy because finally someone's talking shit about Shrek.
Wait, what?
He can be in peace now.
That killed him? Like, what happened to
Chris? Chris Farley was Shrek.
He recorded the whole thing
and then
he died. Yeah. And then Mike Myers is like, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, totally.
Well, now fucking Mike Myers is going to be mysteriously killed and Eric Siska is going to jail.
Yeah,
No. I'm gonna just slide right into that Shrek revival.
Nice, man.
And I'm the voice of an ugly monster.
There's no...
Wait, Wait, no, that's true in real life.
That's a charming ugly monster.
Yeah. What are you making an animated documentary over there or what?
Yeah.
Well, it's just like, you know, Shrek is trash because not only do we have, you got like, there's like Shrek.
Mm-hmm. Saves Christmas.
Yeah, there's a bunch of those shitty.
Are you serious?
There's, oh, yeah, there's a bunch of shitty like Donkey's Halloween
Easter special.
Are you fucking kidding? No. All right. How many theatrical? Two or three? Three?
No, four at least.
Four.
There was at least Shrek the Fourth.
What the fuck was the fourth one about?
I don't even know.
I think they have a baby.
Somebody's fucking
They have a baby,
sucking.
I think.
They have a baby? Oh, yeah. God.
It's gnarly, man.
And so, it's all about the birthing process.
So
the miracle of life.
Ogre birth.
Yeah. Oh, man.
The miracle of Shrek.
And they were like wet animal having sex.
No, dude, I think what happens, I think the gag, right, it's kind of like a Naked Gun gag, right, because the Shrek's wife gives birth, right, and then what happens is they look at it, and it like kind of looks like Shrek, but it also has like a donkey tail, then donkey just goes, and just like runs out of the hospital, the Shrek hospital.
That's the show that they canceled, Shrek Hospital.
Oh, no, I lost another one on the table. It's just Shrek killing people.
Oh, the three little pigs have diabetes.
It's like House, except for he misdiagnoses everyone.
That's a fun show. So B-movie's a movie that we're talking about.
Oh, God, yeah, sorry.
So
yeah.
Seinfeld stars as Barry B. Benson, who I guess is he supposed to be in his like 20s or what?
Like, he's graduating college at the start of the movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and the weird thing is this movie does this weird thing where like it's like, oh, it's funny because bugs live short lives. So he's like, oh, yeah, last week, you know, one day I was in grade school, the other day I was in high school, then I took a gap year, and now I'm graduating college. It's been 4 days. But then the rest of the movie takes place over like 6 weeks, and this bee would be dead.
Yeah, totally. This bee would have expired. Also, this movie needs
I'm dying.
This movie needs to take a fucking chance and kill some bees. How about that? It really does.
Well, they're talking about death the whole fucking time.
Yeah, stop dancing around
there's
it.
There's some black comedy, which I appreciate. You know, there's like some, they're talking about dead bees.
There's
so like,
black and yellow comedy.
Oh, bravo.
So, he graduates high school. He gets picked up by his buddy, Adam, who's played by Matthew Broderick.
You know, another noted 20-year-old actor.
they both had, you know, hot tea.
Yep, they're both
sipped on it.
They're excited. They're going to graduation. And here's my first question. Why do bees have cars?
Why do bees have cars?
I think at some point they answer that. It's like, well, why do you have cars? Why don't you just walk around?
Why don't you go fuck yourself, talking bee? This is a stupid movie.
Why do bees have cars? Why do bees drink coffee? Why do bees hang out with comedians in cars getting coffee? It's just old fucking Jerry Seinfeld's like stuff he likes.
Yes,
it's
exactly.
Like, oh, yeah, stuff I like.
Bees love Superman. Bees love sneakers.
There's an old man with a New York Mets hat on.
There definitely is. His closet at the beginning, he's got a bunch of sneakers on the floor. Jerry Seinfeld famously has like hundreds and hundreds of pairs of sneakers.
Oh, God.
But also the weird, it starts early in this movie because they're driving around. Adam's driving around and he's like, hey, that girl's hot. And it's like,
look at that.
And it's like, ew, don't talk about hotness. And then she's his cousin. And yes. It's like, we're all cousins.
We're all just going to fuck each other.
Isn't it really gross that we brought that up?
Exactly.
5 minutes in.
In the start of the film, when he's getting ready to go out for the day, he shoves his stinger in a
pencil sharpener.
Is that him just like pounding the pub?
I think so,
man. He's got to hide it because he doesn't want it to see through his graduation robe.
He cannot take a shower to do it.
So he
has to have a machine to do it.
Well, like if your dick was coming out of your ass, you know, like maybe you would have to have a, there'd be like more jerk off machines.
It stands for like everything in
this
fucking movie.
No, it doesn't though, because that's what I was saying to Steve before we went on the air. There's actually no, and you would expect this, you'd expect the little like stinger to come out of Matthew Broderick's ass, and he'd be like, look at it grow. Like, there's no erection stinger correlation.
Because I feel like that was the one thing they couldn't do, or else this movie is going to get shut down, because it's so close.
But he wants to be bone Renee Zellweger human the whole time.
Yeah, what would that entail? I think maybe just, like, flittering your wings onto certain piece.
Well, we can go to resident bestiality expert Chris Cabb, and he can give us the lowdown.
Here's the thing.
Okay, tell me how...
Is the bumblebee going to be a Jeff Goldblum-esque, like...
Nightmare? It
has to be big. Like, it can't insert anything.
No, it doesn't. You don't need to insert anything, Chris. There's other ways to pleasure a woman.
What, welcome like to the last We Hate Movies. The last episode. Oh, famously canceled.
This would be a horrible way to go out.
Also, did anybody else think it was kind of interesting that his name is Barry B. Benson, and one of Jerry Seinfeld's like first ever things was guesting on Benson?
Oh, no, I didn't get that.
I mean, it's not that interesting.
His initials are also BBB.
Oh, all the B's.
Wait, did you know that he's a fan of The Graduate?
Oh, yeah, that's getting there.
What a stupid thing in this
fuck
movie.
Fuck with this.
So the weird thing is, like, it's a socialist utopia in the beginning. Like, basically, like... The idea is you get a job, you're given a job by the B government.
Right.
But the good thing is you get to choose it,
fucking
right?
B government. tell me what to do.
Giving me a list of options for employment. That's fucking disgraceful.
That goddamn Bernie Sanders turning this whole place socialist.
I get all my news from B Bart, man. I get it all from B Bart.
Yeah, I like honey, so fucking what? You know what else I like? I like freedom. Beedum?
Steve Beenan is good for this country.
Oh, you know what? I'm almost positive that Sean Spicer is a bee in a man costume.
He definitely
bees. It's honor to serve at the pleasure of the president.
He always does look like he's vibrating.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, I did my Sean Spicer impression go too long.
Yeah.
It might sound a little something like demons fucking each other to death.
At midnight.
So, but the idea...
That's good. Keep going.
Oh, I'm almost there.
Oh, pour that honey all over my face.
This honey's a little too thick. Can we water down this yellow honey a little bit?
You gotta eat more asparagus.
So... He doesn't want to choose a job because he's a free spirit type, right?
Like, sure.
Matthew Broderick is like, oh, this is so exciting. I can't wait to be whatever. And he sees this weird thing called the pollen jocks, who are these like tough guy
bees. Oh my God, they're so
who pollinate.
Covered in plant cum. Like,
it's called pollen.
Listen, Eric. One, I almost spit beer everywhere. Two, a.k.a. plant cum.
I guess so. Yeah, just bring that up. For all our younger listeners, do that in your earth science class. Like, Mr. Krzyzewski, do you just mean plant cum or what?
Look, I'm trying to simplify it for the kids.
Oh, man, now I just fucking failed earth science.
Again.
I kept writing plant cum on everything.
Kept on sending me to the principal.
It'd be irresponsible to say you should continue listening to this if you are attending any type of educational program.
Even an academy.
A certificate course to fix TVs, turn this off.
Listen, if you're studying for your science regions final, okay, photosynthesis ain't plant ejaculation, all right? It's not.
Yeah, it's sort of.
Yeah, you use more technical language, but that's what it is.
Write what your teacher told you.
But see, the light makes it come.
That's
right?
All we do anyway, right? We just teach towards passing tests anyway.
Can we get into B?
You'll get a B.
Oh, that's a joke they say. It's like, oh, you did great. You got all B's.
And I'd be like, wow, you're a fucking average student, Barry.
So A's, B's?
Like,
I think that's, you probably have like a G there now.
But it's so stupid.
A G?
Like what? At the bottom, because you take away the A.
Now,
so you
tell
me
where the spot is for that.
Right below the F?
Man, that's fucking stupid.
We're doing B movie.
Yeah, you're right. Speaking of fucking stupid.
We're not sure if we're going to have another episode. We'll figure that out later.
No, this is actually the end. We're not doing Listener Request Month.
But Rip Torn B. I wanted to talk about B Rip Torn.
Oh, my God. I'm sleeping in a B ATM vestibule because I'm so drunk I thought it was my goddamn house.
My B shot. I look all messed up in it. I go into all sorts of different hives. Is this my hive? Is this my hive?
No. Please don't call the police.
Yeah, you can have all my honey. Honey makes it all go away.
Don't call the bee police.
So he does go, like, they're, like, teasing him for something. Because him and, speaking of Plancum, him and Matthew Broderick, to make themselves look tougher, put pollen all over their chests.
Yeah. Which I've done that before. It's invigorating.
So they go up to these ladies. Tingles. And they're like, yeah, we just pollinated all this shit. It's pretty cool. Ones who they call hot. They're like, oh, they're so hot.
Which is amazing because both of the bees look identical.
They're bees. And
also they're bees.
And then Broderick is like, but didn't you just say that they were cousins? He's like, they're distant cousins.
Distant enough for fucking.
Yeah, I'm already there. In my head, I'm already there, guys. Exactly. It's over.
Oh my goodness.
The mental arithmetic of you having to see this bee fuck in your brain is like nothing, right? Like it's just every single second.
Every second of this movie.
It's a sexual awakening film, right?
I guess. So well, it is like The Graduate,
it
I guess.
Is in yeah, that it way. I think what I should start doing is stop teaching The Graduate and start teaching B-movie.
So he goes out. He's like, all right. They kind of tease him. They're like, hey, you know, why don't you come with us and we'll show you the ropes, kid.
Well, and it's kind of interesting because I thought we were like setting ourselves up for like a fucking bully pit situation here.
Sure.
And it's not that. They're just like, hey, come fly with us. And I was like, oh.
What nice bees.
These guys are being quite nice. Also, we did forget to mention, we got to point out as many celebrity voices as possible.
Oh,
the principal at The Graduation is none other than the great Larry Miller.
Best bud of Jerry Seinfeld.
Yep, best buds.
Mm-hmm. That's a good best bud to have.
Larry Miller?
Better than these buds, I'll tell you that much.
All right.
Remember that when you need a fucking kidney.
I was about to say, well, we're going to be around longer than Larry Miller.
But we will.
Then I looked around the room and I was like, yeah, no, we're not. We're going to die soon.
So he goes, and then they find a tennis ball, like a tennis court, and this is when we get into the gigantism fetish that this whole movie's got.
Now, Steve, you're talking about this, and like I've known you for a really long time.
Sure.
I mean, if it's one thing I know about Steve Sadak, and you guys know this too. Well, no, certainly not. I mean, look at him.
No, but that's his fetish, right?
Yeah,
it's not my fetish.
Well, you're the one that noticed this about
Steve,
the movie.
That's what I'm getting to. Steve knows a lot of weird sex stuff.
Sure.
He's into a lot of weird shit.
He's tapped into the source.
Now we're going off.
But I'm curious.
Now this is a witch hunt.
But so Steve,
I didn't know I was going to.
So we're saying, like, you know, we're getting to this gigantism fetish, and I understand, like, in the world of the movie, what you're talking about.
Sure.
But if I were to be like, say, Steve Sadak, and I was trying to practice a gigantism fetish, what does that entail?
I think it's all just like you just read stories and jerk off. It's like,
really?
Oh my god, it's a big woman.
Oh, it's not like anything you could like role
or
play.
Or just like look at crumb cartoons.
You could probably role play like whatever, but
oh,
I mean,
shit,
really,
like stilts.
Probably get stilts. I mean, really? Like eventually we're gonna get to mech suits, and that's what like the first mech suit ever built is gonna be a giant woman like, to step on some dude's nuts. we're gonna fight the robots, but first this one's gonna go.
That's the way it is with all technology, man. We built it. It's like, here's the thing. It's like three questions. Question the first. We built it? Yeah. Okay. Step two. Does it like shock you when you touch it? No? Okay. Step three. Can I fuck it? When can I fuck it? When can I make it help me fuck?
Look, I just want a hand job this time. That's all I need.
Okay, well, Chris, we're recording right now. I can't do that right now.
That mech suit.
This
isn't
me
Howard
Stern.
But no, what I'm saying is, so this movie was like Jerry Seinfeld is a bee. Cute movie, right? That's totally fine.
Sure.
It's him. You know, he's got to save the hive from the other hive or whatever else has to happen. But then someone in the writer's room was like, but what if there was a huge woman that could crush him like a bug? Could that happen? Can I draw her?
Let me tell you, they drew
hold
this.
Hold it back, Donald. Hold it back. But like, don't
why
let anyone
just,
know.
So they want a love interest. Why not just have it be a bee?
A bee would be a great idea.
She's
Eric.
A girl because there's a bow in her hair.
That would be totally a girl bee. Megan Mullally's in this movie for a second. You make her the girl bee.
Sure. A beetle. You didn't even use a beetle.
That's fine, too, because we do get into that, too. We're also talking about interspecial insect sex.
Yes.
Yep. Yep.
Right.
It's
a lot
there.
Of it.
But
whole
I think Andrew's about to say how sexy this human is.
They draw.
You know what you want? All right, you finish. finish your sentence.
Listen, because I'm talking sexy cartoons first.
Okay, okay, sure.
They draw this Renee Zellweger hey, yeah. Look out. Look, this is a sexy cartoon. Really?
Now, I've known Andrew for a long time, and I've known him for, you know, everyone, anyone you meet on the street will let you know that Andrew jerks off to cartoons.
Oh, sure.
That's, well, here's what I... You bet your bippy.
Well, here's what I'm mystified by, because I think this is just like two steps up from the fucking Dire Straits video.
No, you are absolutely right.
What, it the money for nothing?
Yes, the money for nothing.
Did you jerk off to that?
Well, yeah.
Oh, come on. Who here in this room hasn't pleasured themselves to the money for nothing video?
Jeez, you're down to some Dire Straits if you're jerking off to that video.
Dude, to be fair, I only jerk off to the video within the video.
Listen, it's 2004. The internet's out in the dorm room. I'm hard up for material. What do I have in my Kazaa download folder?
Oh, my goodness.
Bunch of music vids.
All I have is UHF. I'll have to use that part where they make fun of it. I want my MTV, man.
Oof, doctor. Yeah, but like, so they're at the tennis courts and they all like are, they're flocking to the tennis balls because they think that they're flowers.
They're
so
yellow.
They
it's a bee thing.
And then so like Jerry Seinfeld, Barry B. Benson gets stuck on one and he gets stuck in a volley between Renee Zellweger and her husband, Putty.
But there's also like a Velcro fetish thing before that.
Yeah.
Like,
why
the bees
is that
are
a fetish?
Like, first of all, everything's a fetish.
Like touching it is like, oh, that's so good. Ooh, that's so good. And then like Barry does it.
Texture is important.
And Barry does it, and that's what gets him almost killed.
And what if just an idea for the story, just for the story for the kids movie I make. What if he gets hit by a tennis ball and it's just, he's almost crushed by her?
See, that I can see. People love getting hit in the nuts.
You're in constant peril.
There's
constant peril.
I understand a fetish being constant peril, but being crushed by things seems a little weird.
But at least having your nuts crushed, man, that's a thing. Or like watching gerbils get
stomped.
Right,
but like having your...
that's a thing!
He gets... We're going to have more, if anyone's still listening. Hi, Mom, by the way.
Listen, tune into our new podcast, That's a Thing. It's beyond the Patreon wall.
So he winds up escaping this tennis ball, but it starts to rain. He winds up going to Renee Zellweger's house. He's almost killed by Patrick Warburton, who's her boyfriend.
Oh,
is that right?
I think they might be kind of betrothed.
Yeah, they're getting there.
He's also talking about
She also brags about being unemployed all the time.
Now, this is what I wanted to get into. Can we talk about their financial situation for a second? So basically what happens
they live in New York City.
They live pretty much in the exact neighborhood that Seinfeld takes place in, which is kind of funny.
They're multimillionaires.
Upper West Side. Sure. But they live like on the park. People on Seinfeld didn't live on the park. These people are right on the park.
This is where one can live.
So this is seven figures, not six.
Yeah.
This is where no regular human being can live.
Right. Shit. I think that's the one time it definitely doesn't work.
No,
human being.
I kind of liked it the best, though.
And she's a florist?
She runs a flower shop. And
she owns a flower shop, to be fair.
She owns one. No, she doesn't own a chain of them.
She owns and operates a flower shop. But
and
she
he's boastfully unemployed.
But she pays a lease or something. Yeah, she doesn't own the space.
Sure.
Itself.
But like, again, to go back to it, she doesn't own a chain of them.
Yeah.
And that's what would be required for this apartment.
I mean, they live right on, it's like Central Park West. What are you talking about?
And later, they're romantically hanging out on her terrace as well. Like, what is going on?
This thing's gorgeous. Fucking Dana Barrett's apartment. Another fucking impossible apartment in movie history. Yeah, a cellist. Okay.
Well,
at
least that was the 80s.
Yeah, yes, before
that as well.
This is 2007. My God.
I mean, the Koch brothers put money into Lincoln Center.
So,
which they should have never accepted. That's fucking criminal.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a different podcast.
Barry almost gets crushed by her boyfriend, but then he gets saved by her and her big, delicate hands.
Oh, can you just be careful? Can you just be careful?
And so she saves him. He's like, well, I got... And then, like, he falls in love.
Right. His heart is a flutter.
He's like, well, I got to say something. She's so beautiful. Oh, my God. This big human lady is so beautiful.
And this is the most tense part of the movie for me because I was like, all right, here it is, Jupin. If any point in this movie we're going to have a bee boner joke... It's coming right here when he realizes how to fall in love. But thankfully, you skirt right under that radar with that.
But see, I thought it was going to happen when she gives him a crumb. Oh, because yeah. he tastes like it's like a Drake's coffee cake. They have a thing at the end of the aisle.
So he does start talking to her. She thinks she's crazy. And like there's some stupid line where it's like, the number one rule of bees is we don't talk to humans. Sure.
That's whatever. The number one rule?
The first rule of bee club.
You don't talk about it.
So yeah, so they have like their first date on her, you know, Upper West Side terrace looking over the park.
And she's like really okay with it instantly. And then like she offers him a cup of coffee. This bee is drinking coffee.
And he's all like, well, I don't want to put you out. But yeah.
But maybe you'll put out.
I love coffee. Why? I'm a bee. It makes no sense.
Let's go to Monk's.
It's pretty bitter.
There's this one guy in the writing room writing this story. And then everyone else is like, what about the cute bee stuff? Because every 5 minutes, somebody brings back the cute. They're like, why doesn't he go back to the hive?
This movie swings between like kid friendly and Ralph Bakshi. Fast. I mean, it'll make your fucking head spin, man.
Because he's like, well, I gotta go back to the hive. And then they start like talking about like Broderick's like, you and your human girlfriend.
Oh my god, interloper.
Oh my god, do you like the spiders?
That's
Matthew
gross.
Broderick says like the spider's like the hottest type of insect, and Barry B. Benson's like, it doesn't do it for me.
And the face,
yeah, it's just
I don't then, like their face.
And then they mentioned like the last thing you should do is take a wasp home to your parents; they'll kill you. Like,
well, because we're also doing Jewish stuff because we say bee-ish. We're bee-ish, yeah, which yeah. Sure,
yeah, some sure, type
of, if you really have to. If you really require this,
that's
fine.
That's when Steve Bannon turned this movie off. Yes. He was like, "Fuck you, Jared Kushner. I'm out. We're not watching this.
I'm out. We're gonna no screen, more money for you.
We're gonna screen Finding Dory at the White House." What do you think that was about? Was anyone invited? Was that just that big fucking orange baby watching that movie?
No, they apparently
there were kids there.
Yeah, like the family the of staffers. Yeah, I bet the Pences were there. What a fun party!
It's one of them fucking families that refuse all toppings on a pizza.
Hey, stop it. They can go through a whole sleeve of saltines.
You know what? I just have a note.
I'm sorry. I'm just imagining a party where Mike Pence is there. Like, he's in the corner by himself. Like, you're doing your mingling. You come over. You're like, hey, Mike, you having a good time? Like, so you dropped that cracker before. You want to have a funeral for it?
Because I got a kit.
A little Kevin Tiny funeral kit.
I bring around my little cracker coffins in case anybody drops snacks at a party.
I also have ones for... I have ones for insects, too. If you...
I'm sorry, Andrew, you had a note.
I was just gonna... I mean, it's just like nothing. But if you had a GIF made of this episode, it's a fucking train falling off its rails. But no, I had a lot, and I don't remember where this is from, but I remember being what the fuck. I just wrote drag queen joke.
Oh yeah,
there was one. Yeah.
Oh no, that's coming up. We'll get to
okay. I'm not trying to push us ahead.
No, it's fine. On their second date, which is definitely a date, they're like doing like a Woody Allen through a grocery store kind of a thing.
Yeah. Oh, you're right.
Because they're just talking, you know. Yeah. He's just like he's flirting with her in the grocery store, and she's being gigantic.
Towering over me.
Do you think this is a thing where like Seinfeld like always wished? He could make
cereal.
Take his like neurotic writing,
sure.
Put it into a screenplay and make like an Annie Hall thing, but it's like this is the best we can do is goddamn animated bee cartoons.
Well, that's the thing, like just make that movie, Jerry. It would have been terrible. You make it for $2 million, what you have. Like have it you, Brad Garrett, and some lady.
You couldn't have been any worse than what is it, the thing that Larry David directed in the '90s, fucking Sour Grapes with Steven Weber?
Just do that. God.
Like you can't whiff as hard as David did, and you know what, man? If that movie's fucking sucked a dog's ass, you know what? You're still a goddamn billionaire.
Exactly.
Don't make me suffer through this B movie.
So, but they come upon the honey aisle, and he's like all freaked out about it. He's like, "You're stealing my honey?"
Oh, it's like the rape of Europa. He's fucking freaking out over well, this shit.
This is when this movie starts to dance around the Holocaust quite a bit.
Yeah, yeah. Dance around the Holocaust.
He goes to a honey farm or whatever, like through a series of bee misadventures.
First, he has to face off against a crazy grocer.
Yeah, and that's
dude. And that thing. Listen, there
also,
is
also there's a Ray Liotta bottle of honey.
Yeah, Ray Liotta honey. Right. There's a thing where it's like in this world, it's Renee Zellweger and this grocery clerk, and later in the movie, Patrick Warburton, and then later in the movie, the entire country. Everybody is way too quick to accept talking bees.
Sure, oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Like this grocer is just like, I knew you were talking bee, and he like takes a thumbtack and he starts sword fighting with Barry B. Benson.
Nobody's pissing their pants. Nobody's like talking in fucking tongues.
Actually, no.
Wait, I mean,
would you piss your pants, Chris?
If I started like, if I just was like hanging out and that's I saw a bee, and
that's definitely a thing. Thank you for coming to my house, prostitute. By the way, oh no, I think I see a talking bee.
Oh no.
Does that do anything for you?
That bee is luxuriously coming all over my bed.
Have more water. That bee's talking. Drink more water. Oh no, there's a talking bee.
Take this asparagus and water shake I made.
You know they can't fly if you put water on them.
Oh, you're not going anywhere, bee.
If you want to squat over them.
Yeah, let's just say that's water.
So he was
double filtered.
But Renee Zellweger stabs herself in the hand when she finds out. It's like, oh,
right.
Oh, I think I'm dreaming. She does this fucking weird Fight Club shit.
And Barry
she puts
B. Benson.
A lie on there.
And Barry B. Benson is just like, yeah, no, I'm a bee. Not like, don't stab yourself in the hand.
Welcome
like,
to Bee Club.
But they cut out the whole.
Welcome to Bee Club. Oh my God, this would be a totally great Fight Club moment.
Robert B. Paulson was a bee.
Look at that bee with man boobs.
Let's blow up the credit card companies.
Yes.
Where is my hive?
You met me at a very weird time in my life. Because I'm a bee.
I'm a talking bee.
So we wind up going to this is when we see this a honey farm, and there are rows upon rows of like work camps. Essentially.
Yeah, and it's all like drab and like wooden. It's not the natural hive.
There's no beds or anything.
Seinfeld goes in, and they're like, he's like, "Why are you here?" They're like, "Oh, we have our queen here." And he's like, "That's not a queen. That's a drag queen."
Oh, right. That's what it is.
It was an imposter.
Yes.
It was a man bee dressed up like a woman.
And what's amazing
and
is that
they say drag queen.
First of all, I want that movie. I want whatever that bee struggle was, like being in the bee propaganda department.
Better movie. Right?
Here's the most ridiculous part of that whole gag is when they look at the picture of the queen bee and it's the drag queen. You look at this thing, and it's a bee, like, in a dress, and it's fat, but then it also has, like, a 5 o'clock shadow?
Yeah.
It's just
that bee doesn't have a beard, man.
It's just whatever.
That's just stupid. just really fucking stupid.
But then they get gassed over and over.
They sure do.
And, you
they
know,
sure
that's
do.
Sort of it's a thing,
that's
right?
Something.
I mean, we've already established they're bee-ish.
Yeah, it's precisely.
And you can see this coming from a mile away, too. You picture the theaters filled with families, right, who are like, we got little kids. We're also huge fans of Seinfeld. Let's go see this movie. And, like, bees are getting gassed in a camp. And just slightly those parents' heads, like, start to crook a little bit.
No, those
they're just looking at the screen like, wait.
They've
wait
had
a
cocked
second.
Eyebrow for some time now.
Thank you, Chris.
They've been getting a whiff of something, but then that gas hits, and that head just starts tilting like, should we get out of here?
This movie has a hidden agenda. I don't appreciate it.
No, I love it, actually. I love every delicious second of this agenda. Bravo.
I'm just saying.
Bravo.
Bravo.
I wish it worked. I wish the bees got gassed.
I mean, you know, the question is it really okay? Or should we be punching beekeepers or not, guys? You know what I mean? Like, that's...
Listen, We Hate Movies approved. It's okay to punch
it's
a beekeeper.
It's definitely okay to punch a Nazi.
So whatever, then he decides to sue the human. This movie kind of functions like a dream. Like, you know what I mean? You're doing one thing.
Which is why it needs the Fight Club ending.
Exactly. You're doing totally one thing right. And then you're doing another, like really quickly. And then you're doing another thing really quickly.
What also, we skipped it on his way to the farm.
Oh, right.
he's like hitchhiking by like going on windshields and whatnot, and he meets Chris Rock Mosquito.
Yeah.
And he's just calling him Moose Blood because Chris Rock's like, I'm going to Alaska Canada because there's moose up there, and that moose blood will get you fucked up six ways from Sunday.
And he's talking about like how all mosquito women always want to trade up. They want to have sex with grasshoppers,
yeah,
and whatever else, and like
which
wasps
is insane.
And it's like just really weird. Like what? Why don't they just have... Let's not talk about sex at all.
This is what's weird, though, is that stuff that he's doing. Because, again, this is like you get comedians in a room, and sure, it's that thing where like a comedian's just doing a veiled bit.
Yes.
But this is... I mean, this movie's 2007. This is Chris Rock doing a bit from like the late 90s. Like, yes, you watch some of those early Chris Rock specials, and like a lot of it is still amazing, but there's a couple of things in there where you're like, ah.
Yeah.
Bleh. You know, okay, and that's like reminding me of those things more than like other Chris Rock bits, and I'm just like, come on, Moose Blood. It's 2007.
Fine. Just fine. Can we get on with this?
So anyway, like, so yeah, speaking of getting on with it, he's suing the bee company.
Well, no, he's suing the
honey company. Well,
yeah, he's the human race.
Oh, like, human period race. Yeah,
it goes from The Graduate to Judgment at Nuremberg.
I'm suing you because you won't have sex with me.
They definitely do a Graduate thing where he's laying in a he's in a pool of honey.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
they mirror the whole. You know, Benjamin falls in the water.
And his father does like the plastics type speech.
It's, yeah. Yes, you're, yeah,
with honey.
But yeah, the weird thing is, he goes into a fantasy where,
yes,
and it's Renee Zellweger being gigantic, and like they're like at a picnic in a park,
yep,
and they're like then, they're being very romantic together.
Wouldn't
and
it then, make sense if it was your fantasy
she,
that she's
she
the same?
Like a bee?
But no, but then
oh, I don't remember that.
No, she gets into a
plane.
She gets into a little biplane to like fly oh, around
oh,
with
that,
him.
Yeah,
and
that
it's colored
now
like a bee.
She's a giant bee.
But yes, to your point, if your fantasy, wouldn't you be like, oh, finally, we can be together.
She shrinks down, though, by the way.
She's a bee, yes.
You can't have a giant bee. That's fucking terrifying.
She's a bee and he's a bee, and that's the fantasy. No, but it's like,
oh, if she turned into a bee?
Oh, man. Like it would be like the end of Shrek, actually.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was a weird turn for Shrek.
Yeah. Wait, in the end of Shrek, the human turns into a monster?
Yes, she does.
Yes, a beautiful monster, Eric.
Yeah, okay, Shrek.
And then she stays a monster for the next five films?
Yes.
It's the next three films and multiple holidays.
And they're also, no, they're putting out another one soon.
Wait.
Feature film, or are we talking feature. ABC Family Fuckface?
Feature.
Come on.
ABC Family Fuckface.
There's only been three of those.
ABC Family is now called Freeform. Pardon me. It's a Freeform fuckface.
Yeah, they changed the name?
They changed it, yeah.
Oh, man.
So now they could have like more like kind of like hard-hitting shows.
Well, no, every time they had a show about with a lesbian, they'd be like, for fucking ABC Family, there's lesbians. And like, you know, we'll just call it Freeform so you could shut the fuck up.
It's fucking Freeform now. I can't say shit about it.
Exactly.
I still hate lesbians, though.
Exactly.
Yeah. Darn tootin'.
Country's going in the wrong direction.
Also, though, there's
yeah, thank you.
There's definitely a Puss in Boots cartoon show.
Yes.
Chelsea Netflix and I looked at that one day, and it's like fucking five seasons deep.
Sure.
Yes.
I don't know why I went so high.
That, and they're bringing it back because they're going to do more of it. Get ready.
There was also a Puss in Boots feature, right?
There was. Yes. Oh yes.
This franchise is a fucking cancer.
And they're doing this, and now John Goodman, man,
Jesus Christ.
We go to the trial. I guess like, and it's really like this movie is a bit fantastical. Can we talk about B. Larry King a little bit?
Oh, sure. Yeah. And where it really like turns in on itself, and like Barry B. Benson is on B. Larry King. They do a brief interview, and then he's like, you know, there's a Larry King in the human world too. And Larry King's like, oh, B. Larry King is like, oh, it's a common name. And he's like, no, he looks like you. He's hunched over. He's got glasses. And I'm like, man, I am laughing my tits off.
And
I can't even believe it.
And
oh, no,
he's B-ish like you.
Oh, right. That was where the B-ish comes in.
Yeah. You could be on our new show with B. Larry King and B. Jesse Ventura.
Oh,
Jesse the B. Ventura.
Jesse the B. Ventura is the one that's, he's picking apart all those bee conspiracies.
I'm a bee-list.
Bee-list?
Yeah. Believing in free bees.
Who's the other person on there?
Yup, the one hive government doesn't want you to know this stuff. They're fluoridizing the honey.
The humans have it all. The humans are taking it.
There's the fluoride in the honey.
I support Barry Benson. I support him and his cause.
I was once the governor of Beanisoda. Figure that shit out.
I think that WikiLeaks is doing a very good job.
I think that that man, Julian Assange, is a real American hero.
You have to get the B-truth out there. And you have to make sure everybody sees it. I know my friend Bernie Sanders would definitely agree with me on this point.
Yup, and when those two honeycombs came down... There was something fishy going on. The hive doesn't want you to know about.
And there's where the angry tweet comes.
But I definitely believe in Bee Ghazi.
Bee Ghazi.
But her bee mails. Oh, dear. Fuck my face.
Oh, so, but my yeah, God. So he goes to war with the human race. He's got this trial. And he's representing the bees.
At what point are we supposed to believe, by the way? Pardon me. Also, how was 2007, so like Justin Bieber was like 4.
Yeah.
They can't make those jokes.
Justin Bieber.
That was going to say, you can't though.
No, we're doing Sting jokes, and Sting looks like shit in this. And so well, does Raylan.
It's not Sting's fault, with it being a cartoon.
But that's what I'm saying. He's just animated like
actually,
shit.
No, that's just actually
I mean, it looks as bad as Food Fight almost.
It looks really bad.
Sexual thrills, Sting.
There is a scene in this movie where Sting is doing tantric meditation. He's levitating.
That's true.
Dude. Yeah, they catch him right before he's about to pound it for four days.
That's the fucking power of the boner, dude.
The weird thing is, like, the trial, such as it is, and John Goodman is playing the opposition lawyer, and Oprah Winfrey is playing the judge, by the way.
She is, and also, why is Barry B. Benson a qualified attorney?
Great question.
It's him and Matthew Broderick, who is just working at the fucking honey factory.
Sure. You know what, hey man? He's got glasses, though.
Oh,
every bee can defend himself, man.
But like, why couldn't you get like Bee Roy Cohn? Like, like Bee Johnny Cochran?
Yeah, Beanie Cochran.
Oh, Bee Robert Shapiro?
Yeah,
totally.
Bee Sha Wallace?
Yeah, and listen, any famous lawyer turned into a bee because this movie's not above making stupid fucking bee puns about names.
Sure, exactly. But the weird thing is, like, it's the
if the stinger don't fit, you must acquit.
They're doing so, like, we're talking about like weird appropriation stuff too. They're like,
oh,
that's what we do. We're bees. You can't be called Sting. You don't know what stinging is. And everyone's like, what?
And Sting's just like, why am I here?
Are you drunk?
Man, great question for a lot of people associated with B movie, by the way.
I'm not drunk. I just want to get crushed. You know what my favorite soda is?
Welch's grape. That was actually confusing. I'm sorry.
She's so cumbersome. Is it Ernest Borgnine's coffee soda?
No, wait, what?
You've never had that?
No, I've not.
I have. It's all right. It's coffee soda, so it's not good.
Well, wait a second. I'm sorry. He's been dead for years. What does Ernest Borgnine have to do with it? Was it his recipe?
Yes, he stumbled around.
He picked the beans himself.
I had this years ago,
it would have had to been at a deli.
No, it was at I think it was at a pizza place.
Really?
In Woodstock.
Oh, okay. Oh, that makes more sense.
But no, yeah, it's
is Woodstock the only place where you could get this?
It existed. I don't know if it still exists. Coffee soda exists.
Coffee soda is the Manhattan special you'll get.
That's right. Disgusting. Oh,
yeah. This is wretched.
Ernest Borgnine's is much better.
Oh, okay, good for him.
I thought about it when I had some downtime on the set of that magic military helicopter show I was on for a while.
Airwolf.
Airwolf, thank you.
Oh my God.
The joke would have functioned better if I remembered the fucking name of the show. You get it, though. But fuck it.
But, so, like, he brings up Ray Liotta, who owns a honey company, and there's, like, and we're doing, like, kind of, like, really, like, slick jokes at this point where we're talking about, like, his Emmy that he won for ER, and we're, like, talking about Ray Liotta, like, that's a thing.
Wait, so that's, who the fuck remembers that?
No, well, I mean, it was 2007, so maybe you might have.
Oh, because it was 2005, say that he won the Emmy? Yeah.
Did Smith come out yet?
Man. Every time you bring it up, I think of the hard days just moving to New York City. Yeah. Me and Eric Siska, blissfully unemployed, eating bad Chinese food and watching TiVo'd episodes of Smith. Those were hard times.
That Jeez. Was a very short run TV show with Ray Liotta as like a criminal.
He's a, he oh, was a, I remember they were that. Like thieves or something, yeah. And Amy Smart was farting around on that show.
I was like, oh, only a criminal can catch a criminal or some horse shit or what's
well, yeah.
Now, and now he's in that show where only a cop can catch a cop.
Oh, yeah, he's like, yeah, that's right.
Dude, that oh, the J-Lo show.
J-Lo show.
Right, and now that's Ray Liotta wearing a Ray Liotta mask, right? Because every promo for that
made
is
out of porcelain.
Unsettling.
But Liotta is the crooked one, I think. Yes. I think J-Lo is
but
the
no,
one.
She gets in on it.
Oh, she gets in on it?
She gets in on it.
Dude, wait, I'm sorry. Sense. Are you watching Shades
I
of
had
Blue?
To review the first season.
And you, what'd you give it?
A B.
No!
Yes! You gave it a
you
B,
know what?
Motherfucker.
I did
you gave it. A B.
But now I did.
So he's like, you know, and like Ray Liotta's like, well, somebody fucking kill this bee and we could just go back to our lives, which I totally agree
it's
with.
A good question.
My wife actually brought up that point earlier in the film. If Patrick Warburton had been successful at murdering this bee,
sure.
We're talking about a grim 20 minutes well, and then you're done.
Well, so the trial's going on. Then we have this really, because again, like that one writer is out of the movie for a little while, and then the writer comes back and is like, wait, why are we in a trial? We have to go back to her house.
Because he's got to be a homewrecker. She bought some red lights.
It's this weird thing where it's like this thing where they're having dinner together. Mm. It's Renee Zellweger and the bee are having dinner together. Mm. And then Patrick Warburton comes in and he's like, what's going on here? What are you guys doing?
And you know what? I'm on Warburton's side.
Yeah. Of course I am. My wife's having dinner with a bee, or my fiance's having dinner with a bee.
Well, where's the funny farm?
That's yeah, a great question.
That's my question.
Where is Chevy Chase on that riding mower with the dog?
Rolling that boulder up to drop it down?
No, but like seriously, she would be going goodbye.
She would be.
Yes.
She would be committed for sure. It would be like in that Swamp Thing when they when it comes out that lady's having sex with Swamp Thing and the tabloids get all over it.
She's ruined.
She is ruined.
Man.
She loses her job at that mental health facility.
You know, that Swamp Thing, Alan Moore line kind of falls apart towards that last volume, but yeah. I'll tell you what.
Swamp Thing in space.
Yeah.
We're gonna drain the swamp. That thing is stealing our women.
That thing's head's going to be on my wall.
You could pee with a boner.
Swamp
saying
Thing.
You can't is fake news.
Swamp Thing versus Batman.
That's a great one.
Is, I swear to you, I'm pretty confident in this. I got to look around a little bit. That might be the best comic book I've ever read.
There you go.
It's fucking awesome.
It's really cool.
Anyway, B-movie, the lawsuit. Now we're in Law and B-Order.
Well, no. Now we're in the dinner scene.
Oh, right. They have the big domestic dispute. It's like a fucking John Cassavetes movie.
It is. Like, she's like, oh, you're home late. You're home early. I thought you were going to be later, blah, blah, blah. He's like, I'll heat you up some food. He's like, yeah, you do that. And then like they have this weird scene. He's like, are you fucking my wife, B? Are you B fucking my wife?
And here's the weird thing, and it got annoying after a while because, like, I like Patrick Warburton. I think he's funny as putty.
Yeah, I know where you're going.
I think he's funny as putty.
He's a good voice actor.
It turned
Venture
out he was
Brothers.
Funny as putty. Yeah, Venture Brothers too, actually. But like he is just screaming in this movie.
That's the Family Guy thing. That the thing that he was famous for Family Guy, and that's all he did for a really
Jesus,
long time.
Jesus, I fucking hate Family
were
Guy.
Were you
I
dancing with B-more Cassell?
Nice Cassavetes pull, Cameron.
Tell me.
Oh, Peter Falk.
Yeah. Yeah.
Excuse me, ma'am. I'm investigating a murder down at the other side of the hive. Bunch of bees dropped dead, trying to figure out if it was gas or something more nefarious.
This year is Wings of Desire. Look, I don't even got to change it. Don't even got to change it.
Oh, man.
Perfect.
Wings of Desire, but it's bees instead of angels.
You know,
listener community, someone make that poster. It's a bee sitting on a ledge looking down. That's all you
got
to do.
You know, a bee's eye has 8 different lenses in it. And
mine's got 7.
Oh, it's definitely going down that path.
Yeah.
I should have 16, but I, yeah.
Never mind.
Kind of my dead eye.
Sorry, I took that B tour and got us there faster.
No, I appreciate it.
Can I smoke B cigarettes in here? Is it all right to smoke?
Could I possibly smoke a B cigarette or two?
Do you get the B noise here?
Got the B boxing match coming on.
Yeah, definitely looking for a B boxing match.
You got maybe the paper, the sports section.
You know, the old...
I want to know what happened in the B ball game. Oh,
do you got the old gray insect, the B York Times...
The gray insect.
I can't believe you can't smoke on bee airplanes anymore, by the way. That's infuriating.
That's just the commie bees.
The weird thing is...
the weird thing is...
It gets really tense. Jerry Seinfeld excuses himself to use the bathroom, which he does.
Yeah, he makes a beeline for it.
And then, like, Putty goes in after him and, like...
Tries to flush him.
He tries to light him on fire. There's a fucking fight scene.
There's a really stupid, like, it's clearly, like, somewhere there was a hit list of, like, things we need this bee to do. We need him to say dog. He does say dog at some point. Like, he makes, like, a gangsta rap joke. But then he's like...
Gold teeth.
Yeah, he makes that joke, says that... You can tell we're really just, like, being crazy. I haven't looked at my notes once.
Being crazy?
He says that I gotta drain the old stinger.
Ew.
That's a direct...
Yes, it's not a hard dick, but it's a stinger as a penis joke. Yeah.
Yeah, so if it can pee, it can...
Definitely fuck.
He also says, surf's up, dude.
That was on the hit list. It's him on a nail file.
Him on a giant nail file.
Oh my god, it's something that she uses to make her nails smaller!
It's gigantic! A big, big love! A big, big love! Gigantic! Gigantic!
But he's surfing on it in the toilet.
Oh, in her fucking toilet! He's surfing in the toilet!
So he goes, hang ten, dude, surf's up!
Dude, that is so stupid. It's so stupid. Bad. It's one of those things where it's like stupid and so fucking sad at the same time.
Yes, exactly. Because you're fucking Jerry Seinfeld, you're 50, you made $1 billion. You should never have to say surf's up ever again.
It's just, he's so out of touch and he's trying to be cool. Yes. So it's just this poochie.
Well, it is. It's the very whole.
This is Poochie the movie. You're totally right.
The whole 2 minutes that he was in 30 Rock promoting this movie.
Oh, right.
Is so much better than anything in the movie.
Because listen, sometimes it's okay to solely function inside the television realm.
That's totally okay. To be the best at something. It's great to be the best.
You made the best fucking sitcom of all time. You did it.
You don't have to highlight how mediocre and bad you are in other... Don't Michael Jordan yourself on this one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, sports ownership, you can add that to that list.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Isn't that just the saddest shit? Oh, man. He'll never see a championship with that team.
No, he'll just have his gold palace sizz.
The Hornets! Oh, my God. My favorite team is the Charlotte Hornets!
Yeah. He's so great at sports ownership, yet fucking Patrick Ewing could never be a head coach. Whatever, man.
So
fucking B movie surfs up, dudes.
So she winds up breaking up with her boyfriend.
Do they break up?
Yeah, she's like, get out of here. Yeah. Oh my god, you tried to kill my boyfriend.
She's looking for it.
John Goodman is playing. John Goodman is playing this like sleazy lawyer,
and he's doing like a southern lawyer. And he's being, it's like, they actually draw this character very disgustingly. I mean, it's supposed to be a disgusting, like, villain character, but, like, his big fat ass is just, like, hanging out. This suit's, like, barely fitting anything.
And then when we have to talk about Adam Sting. So at one point, he's shaking his big fat ass in front of everybody, and he's talking about how volatile bees are and how dangerous they are.
Well, that's what he's trying to break down. Whatchamacallit? And this is he's trying to break down Jerry
Matthew
Seinfeld.
Broderick.
No, Jerry Seinfeld.
Barry. Oh, he wants Barry.
Oh, right. He's like trying to get him all excited. He'd break down the witness and he's like saying all the salacious stuff. He's like, I see you got a little girlfriend there. And he's pointing to Renee Zellweger and everyone's throwing up. And he's like, are you guys like bed bugs together? And I'm like, oh, that's so disgusting.
Is it like that movie within a movie and talk to her?
And if I
what are the rules here? Can I talk to you? I'm a human. Wait, can only she hear you?
Can you draw me a picture how y'all do it?
And then if I'm in like
the audience of this courtroom.
Uh-huh.
I'm just throwing up.
Of course.
And just despairing at the state of affairs the world's in.
And how is Oprah Winfrey, without argument, one of the greatest human beings to have ever been put on this earth,
mm-hmm.
sitting here reading this script like, yep, this sounds great. Well, I'll do the Color Purple and B movie.
It's because she's billionaire friends with Jerry Seinfeld, right?
They probably discussed this on a helicopter somewhere.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, while they were pushing lesser people out of the plane.
And then what happened was
Pinochet murder death.
Pinochet murder death.
They used to like throw people out of totally, helicopters.
Dude. And then what happened, dude, it was crazy. They landed that helicopter and Jerry Seinfeld was like, I just bought it the other day. And him and Oprah started laughing and Oprah set it on fire and destroyed it.
Definitely.
And then they went and got a modest sized lunch.
Well, John Goodman was on conference call.
You're not going to use the same helicopter twice, Andrew. That's
no,
disgusting.
It's disgusting.
Yeah, that's like, right, I might as well ride the bus.
Yeah.
If I'm going to use the same helicopter twice. But so this points Adam, Matthew Broderick, to sting him.
Right on his big butt.
And the idea is like, oh my God, look, these bees are untrustworthy. Then Adam goes to the hospital. He's treated at a human hospital.
A not just dead.
At a human hospital.
And this is where they were talking the whole fucking movie about, well, you can't sting someone, you'll die.
You're totally right. And I was like, this is where it happens. They've been talking about death constantly. They've been talking about how you can't sting because you die. Here it is.
Here's this your movie. Beaches moment.
Yeah, Matthew Broderick's going to have some weight with this movie. He's going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Then he's just hooked up to a honey IV.
Sure.
And they give him like a toothpick type of fucking stinger.
Yeah, he's got like a cocktail sword thing.
And then fucking John Goodman is voicing a man, a fat man, in a baby walk around.
Oh, right. Because he got stung in the butt.
Oh, right. That's gross.
It's just got like a. He's got like. And then, you know what? That's a thing. Baby finishes.
Oh, well, sure. Then the baby stuff starts. Page 68 of my script. Now let's get into the baby stuff.
Sharpie marker. There's the baby stuff starts.
Fat man wearing a diaper. It's almost like he's a gigantic baby.
So anyway,
the baby could crush me. So the baby's sitting on my lap.
That's like that awesome game Zombies Ate My Neighbors where there's the big baby level.
There's a big baby level?
Yeah, there you got to shoot bazookas at it.
Mm-hmm, that's nice. Somebody something.
Mike Pence has a funeral every time you play that game.
So,
a lot of more people have been playing that thanks to the proliferation of emulators.
My dad keeps on burying my Genesis outside.
16-bit or 18-bit thing is still a baby.
It's true.
It's a pixel baby.
It's true, Dad. Thank you.
So,
let's pray to Christ.
Remember that time?
It's not.
Speaking of praying to Christ, remember that time?
Go Hoosiers.
We thought that. His one daughter there was a vampire.
Oh, right.
Mike Pence took some stupid photo one time, and like due to the angle or whatever, they were at some fucking hee-haw Golden Corral piece of shit restaurant or something.
She wasn't eating garlic?
No, first of all,
Andrew, let me stop you. You're sounding a bit like a New York City elite, but you can continue.
Oh, pardon me. Well, so they were fucking
they were at the most beautiful, beautiful restaurant called Olive Garden.
Yeah, I was going to say, apologies. They were at an Old Country buffet. And what happened was they were in front. Their table was in front of a mirror, and they were at the time like they hadn't won this thing yet. And they're like, "Oh, that guy might be the vice president. Take a photo." And it's his fucking stupid family. Uh-huh. And the way the angle was, you could see like Mrs. Pence and fuckface, but then like the daughter just wasn't in the reflection.
Oh, God.
And everybody was like, "She's a vampire."
I wish.
You know what? I would feel better if there were vampires in the White House.
I like the idea of a
choose your own adventure.
A cartoon series
that's
that I'm going to make
first
kid vampire. That's it.
First kid who's also a vampire.
That's it.
Here's the thing.
Copyright Steven Zanuck. Just FYI.
It's fine.
It's a little too much, maybe. I don't know.
Is the rest of the family vampires? Is it like president vampire?
Oh, no, no, no,
like
no, no, no.
President Frankenstein. They're all monsters.
Oh, I like that idea. All right, right? Copyright Eric Siska, Steven Sadek.
Wait, so that's a great idea. It's like the monsters, yeah. But it's the first family.
All right, so we'll get everybody. You know, Chris, you'll get roped into. Fine, everyone's going to do it.
How did actually, in the spirit of like stupid-ass TV specials, how did the monsters never become the presidential family?
I wouldn't say they haven't. I would say that I don't remember it, but I wouldn't say that they haven't definitively.
Yeah, you had Grandpa Al. He'd be like the Secretary.
He ran
defense.
For a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, I said I voted for him. I don't think that happened.
No, I doubt.
I would have voted for
voting
Grandpa.
Voting in 1955?
No, dude, Grandpa Al Lewis was running for like mayor of New York City.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah, like
I thought this was a plot line from Munsters.
No, Grandpa Al, man.
Oh wow,
because he was.
By the way, ask your grandparents about the Munsters. They'll tell you about it.
Mm-hmm. Ask your great grandparents. You know how young these kids are. Yeah. Hey,
Grandpa Al Lewis, man, because he was like born and bred Roosevelt Island.
Wow.
And he was running for something.
Not many people can say that.
No, you can't. Unless you're criminally insane.
Yes.
So there's smoking going on outside. And
oh,
like,
right.
Jerry Seinfeld's like, oh, that's right, smoking. And
is our case.
That's what he brings up in the whole thing. I don't know who he puts on the stand, like some guy that runs the honey farm. And he's talking about the camps that they have and the smoke that they use.
Right.
This is your Nuremberg moment.
Oh, yeah, big time.
It's really weird. And there's this really weird line where he's like, you're taking our culture and you're making us slaves for the white man. And then they cut to the jury box.
Oh, right.
And the jury box is all white except for one African-American guy. And the African-American cartoon goes, like, he slides away from the rest of them.
Right.
It's really kind of, oh, no, I'm sorry. It's the other lawyer. It's the John Gooden lawyer.
It's the defense table.
Yes. It's the defense table. And, like, his co-counsel is a black guy. And he moves down the bench like, ew.
Yeah.
It's really weird. Like, what are we talking?
Well, that's a move for Johnny B. Cochran to make.
Yeah.
But you didn't hire him.
You didn't. And Christopher B., I don't know. B. Christopher Darden, all right? He's played by B.
Listen, if it's B. Larry King.
Yeah, B. Christopher Darden.
And, you know,
sure.
B. Sterling K. Brown played him in something.
B. Mark Furman dropped a fake stinger at that house.
And had pollen all over it.
Oh, mercy me.
So here's the thing. You think the movie should be like over-ish. But I paused Netflix, and there's like 30 minutes left. Like, what's going on?
I got to correct you, friend, because I made that same pause. We're talking 40 minutes.
And I'm like, what the fuck? How is there 40 minutes left of this movie? So he wins the case. They're like, all right, hooray. The bees become complacent, I guess, because they have money now.
They don't have to work.
They have like all the honey in the world, I guess. Is mm-hmm. the
idea. All the honey. All the honey in the world.
So you give them entitlements, man, and they don't work.
These fucking bee handouts.
That's true. That's true.
And sir, we wouldn't have flowers no more.
Well, man, and this starts getting really fucking weird.
They done and took out flowers.
But the thing is, the movie should be about global warming, because that's something that was going on at the time. I mean, it's still going on, but by the way, global warming
sure is.
That's a hoax invented by the Chinese.
But no, but the bees were disappearing, and we were very worried about that for a little while.
Guys, remember the bees?
Yes.
That's a Chinese hoax.
Guys,
don't you mean the Chinese?
China.
Let me tell you something, Chris Cabin. China is stealing the bees.
That's what happens when bees can't pollinate flowers. You know, flowers start to die, et cetera,
et cetera. And then the earth dies.
Yeah, so that's a big deal. And then
depressed.
They're like, oh, everyone's upset at Barry Benson. They're like, oh, Barry Benson, you and your lazy bee friends. It's like, wait, what movie am I watching anymore? And like he hatches his plan with Renee Zellweger. They have to go to the Rose Bowl or
Tournament
some,
of Roses.
This is next to, you know. Yeah.
It's like a rose parade. I don't know. I was assuming it had something to do with the Rose Bowl also. I know that the Rose Bowl has a parade in it.
With a bunch of flowers.
Whatever.
Whatever. Whatever. Let's call it that.
So maybe they couldn't license the Rose Bowl parade. Maybe that was the problem.
They go there and like he's like, let's play Princess and the Pea. You be the princess. I'll be the pea.
Now we're role playing with animals. Oh, fuck.
So whatever. I mean, they steal a bunch of flowers and they go on a plane, and now the plane starts to crash. Right?
This, you know what? God, this is, as it turns out, the third act of B movie, it's just a little too much.
This
for me.
Is like Air Force One, where you're like, oh man, this movie is so good. But when you rewatch it, and you like, okay, so Harrison Ford kills these terrorists, and that's pretty cool.
Uh huh.
And then, oh wait,
No, 40, all the other stuff.
45 minutes of him trying to land a plane.
The other stuff.
Gary Oldman is dead way too early before the credits roll.
You still have
movie.
To wait for fucking William H. Macy to bite it.
Get off my bee.
Oh, you know who directed that film, Erica? Wolfgang Peterson.
Did someone say Peterson?
So, but yeah, so the plane, like, Jerry Seinfeld, I think, has to, I don't even know, he causes these things.
He goes into the cockpit, and he somehow makes these two pilots, like, knock each other out like it's a Three Stooges gag.
He talks to them for some reason.
He pulls
out
a box cutter? I think, honestly, I think 2007 is a little too early to make, hey, I've incapacitated the pilots.
Yeah, I'm ramrodding the cockpit. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Be or no be.
Exactly.
And he gets on the intercom and he's like, hey, Renee Zellweger, come to the cockpit immediately. And I'm like, first of all, yeah, we're 6 years off of 9/11.
Yeah.
There's some fucking U.S. Marshal on that plane who's shooting Renee Zellweger in the fucking head. Are you kidding me?
That would be an ending.
This woman just gets up and bum rushes the cockpit.
Also, this guy just sued humanity for all it was worth.
Sued humanity? Man, this movie's stupid.
But like, he would be on a list. He would definitely be on a no-fly list.
You can't stop a bee from flying. It's bees.
So that's
yes,
a good
Barry.
So she goes in. They're like trying to. They call up Matthew Broderick, and he's like, "I'll get all the bees together." And all these bees like create a nest to hold the plane.
They lift
up.
The plane up, but then also there's a bunch of bees on the ground, and they're like, "This is where you land the plane."
Dude, you gotta fucking put it in that flower. Is what's going on?
You
right
gotta get
there.
your pollen guns.
Yeah,
your pollen guns out.
It's
and you gotta just, suck up all so the
just
pollen.
Suck it up and spit it out.
Cameo. Speaking of too soon, only like 8 months after the famous comedy club incident.
Did that happen in 2007?
That happened in 2006. In 2007, Michael Richards is in B-movie, like right after that.
And he's very un-Michael Richards, too.
I didn't notice him.
He's the air traffic controller, and it's very just like, there's like no affectation to anything. Like, he's just reading it to be like, as un-Michael Richards
just
as possible.
Oh, because he was embattled at the time.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because he tried to rip off a bit by what's his name there, Lenny Bruce, and it blew up in his face.
This isn't funny. Remember that the David Letterman bit where he's like Michael Richards is talking and everyone starts laughing. Why are you? And Seinfeld's next is like, why are you laughing? This isn't funny.
That was awful.
That's the most cringiest video you could ever see.
I gotta look this up,
dude. It's horrible
it.
Because what happened was like Seinfeld was like guested to be on Letterman,
yeah,
or scheduled to guest on Letterman, I should say. And so like the Michael Richards thing, it just happened. So in comes Michael Richards like live via satellite, and he's like making this apology or trying to, and everyone's like, Kramer, do the thing, and they think he's like joking around.
Well, he says Afro Americans, which makes people laugh. They're like, oh, that's kind of funny.
Like, and then like everyone in the studio audience at the Ed Sullivan Theater itself just starts laughing, and Jerry Seinfeld's like, no, this isn't funny. Hey, it's Seinfeld. Hey, like, it's Seinfeld trying to be serious, which is kind of funny in itself.
He didn't come through a door. It's not funny.
If he came through a door, it'd be funny. He's not wearing that jacket.
That's how you set it up. There's a door frame, and the door bursts open, and it's just a screen, and he's live via satellite. But it was just horrible. It's awful. He went into hiding and didn't resurface till Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah, it's been a while.
But then that turned into a funny bit, though.
Yeah, sure.
That worked. Sure. But at the time, it was a bit
soon for Michael Richards to reappear.
Here's how uncomfortable it was, though. I remember specifically sitting at my desk. I'm eating a Subway sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
I put the sandwich down. I couldn't even eat while watching. I was like, I better save this till after the video's over.
What a vivid memory.
Yeah, well, you know, I really like Subway.
Whatever. Hey, movies brought to you by Subway. Enter promo code racism.
So all the flowers are dying and whatnot.
We land the plane. Everyone's like, yay. Well, and like all the flowers, the bees start fucking them immediately.
He's like, listen, this is the last of the flowers on the entire planet. Get fucking and all these then that we're just then, shooting pollen and everybody's bee face.
And now we have happening. Like an 8 minute end of this movie, so the Here Comes the Sun with Sheryl Crow starts playing. Yes.
Correct. What was that?
That was me expressing my distaste for Beatles covers.
Oh, I thought that was the listener. I was about to chastise the listener. Nah,
just me blowing raspberries.
So the end of this movie is not only does Jerry Seinfeld B turn into what he always wanted to be, which is one of the pollen guys.
A real
he
boy.
Also
pollen
runs
job.
A
real boy.
He also runs a law firm with Chris Rock in the back of Renee Zellweger's flower shop.
What? And here's the thing. Chris Rock has the line where, like, first of all, they're taking a case of a cow.
Yeah.
She's for like, some reason.
Because she's like, oh, you know, they're talking, you know, they're stealing my milk. I feel like a piece of meat. And I'm like, don't make me think about how cows get slaughtered. Right
for, first of all, I don't care. Show me as many videos as you want. I'm still getting a fucking hamburger. Second, it's definitely, he's got the line where he's like, oh, well, I've always been a blood-sucking parasite. Now I have a briefcase. Yeah. And I'm like, lawyer jokes. Beep, beep, beep.
Yeah.
Beep, beep, beep. It's like her flower shop's back in business. She has to shutter it, by the way, because there's no more flowers.
Her gigantic flower shop. It's out of business.
Now,
man, nothing gets me going like failed enterprises.
But now her business is getting bigger and bigger.
Man, this screenwriter is real pervert.
She's going to open another one.
Expand.
But yeah, so it's like there's a law office in the back. Also, why does a bee need a whole back office?
That's a great question.
Just put him off to the side on the counter.
And fit the cow.
Also, just either make him a lawyer or a pollen jock, as they say. Because at the end of the movie, like, he's doing this law case, and then these pollen jocks are like, hey, 5 o'clock, we got to go pollinate some stuff. And he's like, talk to you later, Renee Zellweger. I'm living my dream job or something.
It's so stupid. Like, just let him be the pollen jock. They give him a cool jacket.
Sure, that's the end of the
Jerry
movie.
Jerry Seinfeld loves cool jackets.
Sure
there's a whole episode about it. But, like, why this law firm?
Okay.
Fuck you, stupid movie.
Just end. How about you end your movie?
And then it just ends. He's, like, flying through the city.
Doo-doo-doo.
Ugh. Beatles covers. Fucking shove them up your
Stop
ass.
It.
Every last one.
I am Sam soundtrack should have been the fucking death.
I am out.
Yeah.
I'm looking at you, Aerosmith, and that fucking Come Together cover.
Oh, that sucks.
Oh, it sucks.
I think the Vines did something on there.
Of course they did.
The Vines?
Yeah.
What I love about it is everyone's like, oh, you know what sucks about Beatles songs? They're too short. Let's make them long.
I know. It's crazy.
All be Rush songs.
Exactly. Let's make an 8-minute fucking Beatles song. No, thank you.
Oh, Lord. And then, that's B-movie.
That is B-movie.
That's all, folks.
Did anybody stick around?
I was waiting for a stinger scene.
Oh, my wife said the same thing. She's going to bed because first of all, my wife, God bless her, has put up with a lot of like, you're watching what? Okay, we're still married.
Uh-huh.
But, dude, B-movie, she drew the line. She's like, I'm going to bed.
Good for her.
This is
smart lady.
Stupid.
No,
she's way smarter than me. But so she's going to bed. She goes, let me know if there's a stinger scene. I was
nice.
Now I know why I married you, baby. End of the credits, though, not a stinger scene, but you got this weird shit with Jerry Seinfeld and Matthew Broderick. And they're just singing this, like, duet with each other.
Could you see them, or are you just...
No. It's like, the credits are just about over with. And you're like, all right, this movie's over with.
Sure.
And then Matthew Broderick and Jerry Seinfeld just start singing, and it's like a shitty, like, old-timey musical, like, jazz thing kind of thing. They're just, like, singing some stupid song, and then it stops, and he's like... I'm a bee, back to work. Like, it's totally unnecessary, especially if you're not seeing anything. Maybe it was on the soundtrack.
I don't even know. Music Maybe. Inspired by and featured in B movie.
It's just Sheryl Crow and then that shitty barbershop duet.
Puddle of Mud did a song about being a bee.
Aaron Lewis.
I'm a bee.
Aaron Lewis did an acoustic number.
Let the honey hit the floor.
I'm afraid to be a bee. As Aaron Lewis in concert.
That
solo.
Sucks.
Yeah,
that
man,
sucks.
Don't worry about
it. It sucks
just
so bad.
Do me a favor. Don't worry about it.
All right.
Would anybody recommend B movie? This is. I don't know if I want to predict the answers here, but I think
No fucking way.
All right, Chris Gavin.
It's a no. I've saw this movie twice. It's really long. We should be talking about, for animated movies, you're fine with an hour 20.
Sure.
You're fine with it. Yeah. Once you crack the 80-minute mark, you're golden.
Your kids are already pissing and shitting by the 80-minute mark.
Exactly.
But I feel like I'm fucking watching The Bridge Over the River Kwai with this bullshit.
Yeah. I wouldn't recommend it. I mean, there is a seeing is believing element to it, but
there
I don't like it.
I was worried about.
That's what you were worried about?
I was worried someone was going to say they recommend it because.
It sounds like you're doing that.
No, it's not a recommend.
Okay.
I was worried other people were going to be like, it's seeing is believing.
No, it's not. I mean, like, you're fine. I mean, the internet will tell you what this movie is. Video.
Just look at some GIFs.
Yeah, that's fine.
Also, that video that's hilarious is the movie speeds up every time they say B. That's fucking funny.
It is really funny, yeah.
And it's better than watching B movie.
It is better than
B.
We are launching a B movie minute by minute podcast. Mm-hmm. This was the overview podcast. We're going to go minute by minute.
Yeah, we are.
That's where I leave the show. Someone else deal with that. That's B Movie from 2007, sort of directed by Steve Hickner and Simon J. Smith. If you want more
written
We Hate Movies,
by me.
If you want more We Hate Movies, check out whmpodcast.com. Be sure to check out us and all the great stable of shows over at HeadGum, baby. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. We are at WHM Podcast, and write into the mailbag, weallhatemovies@gmail.com. Rate and review the show wherever you get it. It would be really special to us if you did, especially because we're being inundated by people leaving fake reviews saying we're racist and misogynist.
Sure.
That was great. That guy also really liked a Dallas Cowboys podcast, so that's cool. Well, they are indeed America's team.
We are getting we're being trumped. I guess.
Oh yeah,
you know, we made fun of Trump, so we got.
Oh, I'm sure this episode's going to put that right to bed.
We got his little fat boys are coming after us and,
their racist anime avatars, the whole thing. But you know what? We'll take it. Now listen, next week the show will continue.
Next week,
yeah. What's next week, Steve Sadak?
Another just in time for Valentine's Day. We're doing My Father the Hero.
Oh right. Oh gross. Oh getting gross.
Yeah, we're continuing a gross month.
We're getting gross.
Yeah. We're going to do a similar movie, Antichrist.
So bear with us. We'll get out of this gross phase.
Oh, no, we probably won't.
I'll tell you what, though. I'll say it right here. You know, there is a good part of. My Father the Hero. It's an Our Father the Hero.
Our Father the Hero who art in heaven.
Yeah, hallowed be thy name. No. A good part of My Father the Hero, of course, Tobo and Ann.
That's right.
We got Stephen Tobolowsky and his
friend of
his
the show.
Friend of the show and his beautiful wife, Ann Herner, in this movie, man.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're talking about next week. Gerard Depardieu.
Being gross.
Being accused of fucking his daughter, but played by what's-her-face
Catherine
there?
Heigl.
Yeah, I almost said that person everybody hates.
Well, we would have known enough. Who we were talking about.
Yes. Dominic Strauss-Kahn.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a bad movie.
I love that movie.
Oh, well, that's a podcast for another day. Until next time, with My Father the Hero, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Siska.
Take it easy.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.